It's a great joy to have little Sophia with us. Now, her face, of course, little Sophia's at the moment, and I stress that at the moment, is much less well known than our Queen's face. In fact, I think across the United Kingdom, isn't it true to say that our Queen is probably the most recognisable face in the land? I mean, that's not too much of a stretch, is it? This lady, I mean, you've only got to go to your wallet and pull out some money, and she's staring back at you, isn't she? You know, you go to post a letter, you put the stamp on. Who are you blessed with? We've got the Queen. She's got the most recognisable face across the country. And probably you'd find it difficult to go anywhere in the world where the Queen's face wasn't recognised by somebody. I think that much is true. But not everybody recognises when they've met the Queen. I was reading the account of Richard Griffin, who was one of the Queen's police protection officers a few years back. And he tells of the time when the Queen was on holiday at Balmoral, one of her homes. And she's out with her Wellington boots on and she's got her headscarf on. And a group of American tourists came up to our Queen, didn't recognise her, came up and said to her, "Have you ever met the Queen?" And the Queen, without batting an eye apparently, said, "No, I haven't, but this man has." Some people wouldn't recognise it if they met the Queen. But I think we would know, even if we've not met her, we would know having seen her, wouldn't we? Have you all seen the Queen in person? Anybody seen her in person? I've seen her in person. Yeah. I remember waiting a long time on the Isle of Wight to see the Queen in person. That's why she dresses, you see, so kind of flamboyantly. I mean, you know, did you see it yesterday? Lime green. Wasn't it great? You know, people are still criticising it. But you see, her daughter-in-law, the Countess of Wessex, Sophie, says the reason the Queen wears such vibrant outfits is that quite often wherever she goes, there are crowds 10 to 15 people deep. And people want to leave at least getting home and saying, "Well, I saw a little bit of her hat as she passed by." Be some reason there. And whether we've seen the Queen or met the Queen, or whether we just know something about the Queen, the fact that she's 90 years old, I'm sure that's not escaped you. The fact she's our longest reigning monarch. I'd love to encourage you with the thought, "Your Majesty, 90 is only 9 in Scrabble." Hey? If you're coming up to that age, do be encouraged. But do you know things about the Queen? The Queen, for instance, has visited 117 countries, including the Isle of Wight, during her reign. Did you know that? She has owned more than 30 corgis during her reign, and now is left with only 2. And apparently she won't take any more on at this present moment in time. She's the only British monarch to have ever been properly trained to change a flat tire. She's fluent in French. She likes to do also the occasional photo bomb. She's right up to date, isn't she? Our Queen, there she is in the background. Don't encourage that, by the way. And of course, she loves to make a cup of tea. Because when she's not raining, she's pouring. Boom, boom. Okay. It gets a lot worse than that, I promise you. Now, whether you've met her or seen her or just happen to know something about her, it is something else to be able to go on and say, "I know her." I mean, to know somebody is a lot more personal. It's a lot more intimate. It is a lot more deep. We've been introduced to little Sophie Erin this morning. We know a little bit about her. We've seen a little of her. But none of us will know her, certainly at this stage in our lives, as well as Mum and Dad know her. That much is a little bit deeper, isn't it? Because knowing a person has to go to the point whereby you're in relationship with the person. Eric had a good conversation with the Queen, and when she'd had enough, she pushed him back. You know, I doubt he didn't even have time to take her number. You know, it wasn't that deep. Knowing God is also like that. It's more personal, it's more intimate, it's more deep. Knowing is more than information, you see. It is transformation. Knowing leaves us changed, not just impressed. Knowing alters our whole life, not just our day. Knowing is not a matter of what, it is a matter of who. And it's my prayer this morning that some of us here at least might be able to date our own knowing God, our own true relationship with God, not through a sovereign that has died like Isaiah, because he met the Lord, he saw the Lord in the year King Uzziah died. But actually, some of us will look back in years to come and can date the transformation in our lives by the year in which the Queen celebrated her 90th birthday. And that's why we've put this picture up. Because the Queen knows that to be in right relationship with God empowers her and enables her to be the servant queen that she is glad to be. And this little book, The Servant Queen and the King She Serves, is written for her 90th birthday celebrations, and we've got a copy to give out at the end of the service that we'd like you all to take away with you. In it, she has written the foreword. And it's a great encouragement to know that I've lived the whole of my life under the reign of a woman who has her own faith in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and would encourage us to be faith-filled in him as well. Just like Isaiah. That's why, I think, Brenda, you put this on your Facebook page, didn't you? That's why the Queen says this, and it's her prayer, and it's my prayer this morning, that we may find room in our lives for the love of God through Christ our Lord. Now, we may not have met the Queen, we may not know the Queen, we may know very little about the Queen. I haven't met the Queen, I don't know a great deal about her. All I discover is on the internet. But though I've never met the Queen, like Isaiah, I have met the King. And the Queen has met the King. And how do you meet the King? And how does he transform our lives? Well, very, very quickly, before the children come in, how can he be met? Well, if you went through the passage that we've just read together in Isaiah, first of all, it means you've got to be confronted with the King. You've got to be confronted with him. I don't want you to come to church simply to be confronted with me. I don't want you to come and be confronted with a lot of tradition, a lot of things that we're used to that you may not be used to. That's not how you're going to meet the Lord of Lords and come to know life in all of its fullness in him. You need to be confronted with him yourself. That's why we're told in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. He is the sovereign over all. Don't miss the implication here. And the contrast between the two kings. Isaiah is dating a transformation in his life by one king who is dead and the other who's divine. By one king who is mortal and the other who's immortal. By one king who's human and one who reigns from heaven. One king who has died as all monarchs do. And one king who lives now and forever as only God can. It is the Lord we need to be confronted with and by. It's the Lord who transforms. It's the Lord who alters us. Not on the outside, but on the inside, so that people can see the effect of what it means for us to be in right relationship with the Lord. The sovereign over all. And by the way, that being confronted is not a threat. You know, some of us have grown up with the kind of Lord being the threat. If you don't do this, you better watch out. It's not a threat. It's not like driving in your car and coming around a bend, you know, a little bit over the limit and then discovering that there's a policeman there with a radar gun. It's not that kind of confrontation. I mean, that can really dispirit you, can't it? No, it's the confrontation of coming into the truth of who the Lord is and what a difference he makes in your life because he was seen on the throne. God is in control. Even when to you it may not look like he's in control, God is in control. And this confrontation is there to assure us that when your life may be on the down, God is still on the up and in control. When disaster strikes your life, God is on the throne. He is in control. When the doctor says it's not good, God is on the throne. When your boss says, I'm having to let you go, God is on the throne. When you face hostility for what you believe, God is on the throne. When you feel let down by others, even the church, God is on the throne. And you draw your comfort from knowing him who confronts you with the sovereignty of his person and the ability that he's got to step into any life and into any situation and deal with it to his glory and to our good. Now, if we're going to be confronted with God, that means it will lead on to the fact that we're going to be convicted by God. When Isaiah saw the Lord for who he was, holy, 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 guess what? He saw himself for who he was, in all of his sinfulness and all of his shortcomings. Woe is me, he cried. I am ruined. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Wasn't somebody else's sin he could see, it was his own. Wasn't somebody else's fault that came to his attention, it was his. That's a true work of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When God is at work, he's not pointing out to you everybody else's failings. He's pointing out to you yours. Reminds me of the little boy who got sunburnt. And 3 days after he got sunburnt, he began to peel. And this little five-year-old boy went running to see his mummy. He said, Mummy, he said, look at me, I'm coming apart. And when you stand before a holy God, a thrice holy God, only when it comes to God's holiness does the Bible speak of him 3 times. When you stand before a holy God and you see him for who he is, you're convicted of who you are. And you get an understanding of the need that you have before him to know him and to be put right by him. I wonder, have we come to that place in our life where we've been convicted by the Lord? Not because he's out to get us, but because he's out to bless us. It took deity to show Isaiah his dirtiness. It took God to reveal to Isaiah his guilt. Not because God was wanting to be awkward or difficult, but because God wanted Isaiah to get to the place where I want little Sophia to get to, where in his life he could fulfill everything that was potentially within him as a blessing for himself and through him to others. And then, of course, if that's going to happen, it's not just that we need to be confronted and convicted. God gets us to that place in order so that we can be cleansed. Not just to say what a mess we're in, but actually here's the way out of it. And for Isaiah, you remember how it happened? The angel flew off, and with it, the live coal from the altar that he got, he touched Isaiah's mouth and said, see, your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for. Not just that God was giving him a fresh start, but a new life to live that fresh start. Something that the Queen recognizes. It's something that we want little Sophia to recognize. We want this little girl to be confronted with God's truth. And Daniel and Staluta, she's going to be confronted with God's truth as you live it before her and as you share it with her and as you show by example what it means to live in the fullness of God's blessing. Because it will come that point in her life, as it will come that point in mine and Isaiah's, and I hope yours, where you know you need the cleansing of God. It doesn't come to us through a hot coal from a fire. It comes through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on that cruel cross of Calvary, where every sinner who knows they're undone can find grace to be cleansed. And some of you might be sitting here and thinking, well, Sean, look, if you knew what I'd done, if you knew what I said, if you knew the kind of lifestyle that I've got, you wouldn't be offering that. Listen, the Bible tells me the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. Every sin. And we all need it. If you'd have gone around at the day of Isaiah and asked the people in the street about him, they'd have said of Isaiah, he's a man of integrity, man of great worth, a man of great standing, a man that people looked up to, pretty much like the Queen of our age. Do you ever hear anybody speak badly of the Queen? She's a great woman of substance and a great woman of faith. And yet, the reason we sing God Save the Queen is because she, as well as Isaiah and me and you, we all need God's cleansing. And it's available when we've been confronted and convicted and we come and confess our need for it. God cleanses us. Amen. This is the good news of the gospel. And what does it all lead to? Well, before the kids come back in, don't forget the last bit here. He was commissioned by God. You know, God doesn't expect us to be perfect to be used, but he does expect us to be cleansed. And when we've been confronted with God, I tell you what, there's an excitement that no program, no pastor can ever bless you with. And having that confrontation and getting to the place where you think you're less than you need to be, and then discovering the cleansing of God that washes you for the role that he's got ahead of you, the opportunity will come, the voice will be heard through his word, through a song, through a sermon. Who's going to go for me? Who's going to go for us? And the tendency is always to think, well, here am I, send them. Or here I am. And we're more concerned about our location than our vocation. Here am I, send me. We've all got a ministry. Daniel Staluta, your ministry is in the home with little Sophia. What a ministry. You've got to stand in that place and bring to her God's grace and love and care. For some of you here, you've got a ministry in the church you haven't taken up yet. The Lord is calling. Who's going to go? Whom shall I send? And there's a ministry. And you say, well, there's nothing for me to do. There's always something to do, but it's getting to the place where God would have you to work and to serve and minister. For some of you, in your places of work, in your places of play, you're being fruitful on your front line. It's a ministry. We don't come in, do we, just to a service. We go out to serve. And God is commissioning us all this morning, not just mum and dad, but all of us. Because there are things that only you can do that God wants to bless others through. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know the Lord? It's deep, isn't it? Some of you have seen the things of God. Some of you have met people who know God. Some of you know an awful lot about God. It's not always impressed you. It's not always been something that you easily resonate with because of some of the experiences of life that you've had. But I invite you this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the living testimony of our own Queen Elizabeth II, to come to the place where you can be confronted with God. Allow him to convict you, allow him to cleanse you, so you can go out commissioned to be all that he wants and intends for you to be in the years to come. And maybe when you get to your 90th birthday, if you're still on the other side of it, you'll think, wow, what a life that's been lived to God's glory and for God's praise. Amen? Amen. We're going to stand together now as the youngsters come in, and we're going to sing the national anthem. We don't often sing it, do we? But when you look at the words, and when you hear what we've shared, and the interview that we've had, the message that's been given, I think it's right to sing it. I think it's right that we honour the Queen that God has put in place. There's not a ruler that God hasn't put in place. And we recognise under her sovereignty, and over her is him. And so we're going to sing, God Save Our Gracious Queen. And we're going to ask that he sends her victorious. And we'll sing the other verses that speak to the truth of being confronted, convicted, cleansed and commissioned, that we may all go out saying, Lord, here am I. send me.